You think you know pizza? Our next guest knows pizza to the tune of 1,700 pages worth of new book about the much-loved food tradition. On this edition of Food Friday, we're going to go deep on pizza. It's a food you can find, it turns out, all over the world in different shapes, sizes, thicknesses, toppings, and more. It's also personal. Most everyone has a favorite. It's comforting, nostalgic. It's also not always the easiest or quickest thing to make from scratch at home. You can join the pizza conversation at 800-642-1234. What is your all-time favorite? Do you make it at home? Do you make your own dough? How does it work out for you? Do you need some advice? Do you have a favorite style of pizza? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Francisco Magoya is head chef at Modernist Cuisine, co-author of Modernist Bread, and co-author of the new book set available this month. It's called Modernist Pizza. Francisco, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, this is an epic journey. Literally, you traveled thousands of miles in search of pizza and the history of pizza around the world. What led you and your colleagues to do this like encyclopedic look at pizza?
So it was a segue from our previous book, which we published in 2017, titled Modernist Bread. And in that book, we had covered a good amount of pizza. But I, believe it or not, it was a 5-volume book. It was going to be even bigger, and we had to trim some information out. And so, you know, that's when we thought about pizza as a good candidate for its own subject, deep dive book. And that's when we started, you know, thinking about it as a major project. So it was, you know, it follows the almost like a natural sequence of, you know, fermented doughs and so forth. Pizza has so many similarities with bread. I mean, there's a point where, you know, they do take different paths, but it just was a sort of born out of practicality and common sense.
You talk about the history. We could spend the whole time talking about that. I want to talk about the early days of pizza, and it's actually a pretty modern foodstuff, at least as far as a thing we today would look at and say, yeah, that's a pizza. When is the first thing in human history that we would say, yes, this is what we recognize as a pizza?
You know, the part of the problem with finding out when that exactly was is because this pizza, you know, pizza as we know it, was not really documented all that much, because it's always in its origins, it was always food for, you know, peasants, poor people. So, you know, academics did not bother all that much in documenting it or writing about it. So the first written source that we can find historically on pizza is in 1799, but it doesn't mean that it didn't exist before that. You know, as you know, whenever we do any sort of historical research, we have to go by what texts are available and what we can find. So that's as far back as we can go. But I think, you know, part of it also depends on what we define as pizza, because it's very hard to define precisely what pizza is. It's easier to define what it's not than what it is, because if we think it's a flatbread with stuff on top, there's so many things that could be considered that, right? You could go all the way back to Egyptian times and, you know, flatbreads that they made there. Is that pizza? I would say no. I would say that the cradle, the origin of pizza as we know it and all its descendants started in Naples in 1799.
Well, you spend a lot of time in history. You also have lots of recipes and practical advice. I want to talk about a couple key things here. Mm-hmm. As a home cook, I'm kind of like, yeah, this is close enough generally with the mm-hmm. things I cook. With pizza making, especially for making our own dough, I'm not going to mm-hmm. get away with that, right?
Well, the good thing is that there's many different styles that you can do, and they're all, you could almost categorize them by like super easy to make to very complicated to make. And I think that if I were to recommend a you know, pizza dough for a beginner, is what we would call thin crust dough, which is, it's a dough that it doesn't have to have like the big puffy crust on the sides. It doesn't have to, you know, ferment for a long period of time, and it's pretty easy to handle because it's not a very wet dough. So and it doesn't require a whole lot of time for fermentation, where a lot of people get impatient and they're not sure, right? It's like, is this ready? I don't know. I mean, you know, there are many questions that can come if you don't have a lot of experience with it. So but you know, there's different levels is what I'm getting at, and you can start very simple and then work your way up to the harder ones if you wanted to.
And I understand a key point that you hope we all take away is if we're going to get serious about making pizza dough, we want to weigh our ingredients instead of measuring them by volume. Why is that?
Yes, I think, and I don't think I know for sure that you're going to get more precise measures if you weigh them, because volume, I promise you, if you scooped 100 scoops of one cup of flour every time, you would have a different weight. Every single time. It would be a rarity if you had the same amount every time you dipped your measuring scoop into your flour, because flour is, it'll be either more compact or it'll be looser. It'll always be a different amount when you measure with volume. With weight, if you buy a $20 scale off of anywhere online, you're going to get precision. If you need 450 grams of flour, you're going to get 450 grams of flour. And it gets more important. I mean, it's always important, but with the smaller ingredient quantities, for example, salt and yeast, these are ingredients that are measured in very small quantities, and variations on those quantities can make a big impact. You have too much yeast, too much salt, or not enough salt, or not enough yeast. This is going to have a consequence on how your dough turns out. Where a volume measure is, again, it's not going to give you the same results every time. You might get lucky every couple times. One time it won't turn out. You might wonder why it is, and it's probably because your ingredients weren't properly measured out. So it's super easy. You just weigh all the ingredients into different containers, and then you're done. You know, I mean, I think that there's a simplicity that it's just, we might be worried or concerned about it because we're used to volume. But once you start understanding, weighings and just how your product can come out consistently on a regular basis, that to me is worth the price of a cheap scale. So.
Talking to Francisco Magoya about pizza on this edition of Food Friday, co-author of the new book set out this month called Modernist Pizza. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your favorite pizza, or if you need some advice on making it at home. Timothy is on the line with us now in southern Minnesota. Timothy, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to ask about, Timothy?
Hey, Francisco. I think extending on the importance of weight, just wondering, you've traveled the world trying different pizzas, and you've done a lot of lab experiments to understand what's important. Apart from like weighing your ingredients, are there other things that you think like at-home pizza chefs or professionals should be doing every time or thinking about every time in order to make better pizza?
Yes. Yes, there are a couple of things you can do. One of the biggest difference that you're going to have with your home environment versus a pizzeria is your oven. And while people might have specialized ovens, pizza enthusiasts of all kinds have, different ovens that they like, or they buy like these new outdoor ovens that are portable, which are great. But for the most part, the majority of people have just a simple home oven. And home ovens are practical, but they were built for doing many things, and none of which they do particularly well, because they work via heating the air inside the oven. So you open the oven door, and there goes most of it, right? So what I recommend is getting either a baking stone, or even better yet, something that's called a baking steel, which is made of steel. It's 3/8 of an inch of steel. I keep mine in my oven at home all the time. I don't even pull it out because it's so heavy, but also because whatever I use it for, it's great. So I keep it about 4 to 6 inches from the top of my oven, because that's where your oven is going to be hotter the closer to the top than it is in the middle or the bottom. So one of the things that pizza needs is super high heat. But also a baking steel, it absorbs heat really well from the oven. So all that hot air that is escaping, it's also going to make the baking steel really, really hot. But the steel is also going to hold on to that heat for a long period of time because it's a dense metal. And not only that, it's going to radiate it beautifully into your pizza crust. So it's going to give you a nice golden crispy base. It's going to bake your pizza a lot faster. And it really ups your pizza game tremendously at home. I think that that's one of the best investments that you can make for baking pizza at home.
Thanks. Thanks for the call, Timothy. I want to bring on another caller now. Richard is with us in Two Rivers. Richard, hi.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about Richard?
I grew up, it's a trick question. I grew up in New Jersey, right outside New York, and they had really crappy pizza. But but they sold it 25 cents a slice when I was 7 years old. And I'm going to give you some hints. What's the most famous? The question is, what's the most famous pizzeria in the world? And I'm going to give you more hints to see if you get it. It's in New Jersey on the Belt Turnpike, 7 miles from Manhattan, and it's on the Sopranos every trailer, and they showed the picture of it. And I was their first customer. I was 7 years old. I sat on their steps when they opened up.
Wow!
Because I wanted to eat the pizza. You know what it is?
Uh huh. Well, but okay. So the pizza, the most famous pizzeria in the world, you're saying is this one that was in the Sopranos series?
Yeah, they show it. People take pictures in front of it.
Richard, we got a break coming up. Could you spoil the answer for us, please?
It's called Pizza Land.
Pizza Land is the one in the Sopranos opening credits. Okay, thank you for that, Richard. I appreciate it. Francisco, he mentioned, you talk about in the book, you know, yes, we like really good pizza, but we might have a sentimental soft spot, like Richard obviously does, for that 25 cent a slice or buck a slice or whatever it might be.
Right. You know, I think that there is such a thing as, you know, having this nostalgia for foods where we had when we were growing up that we think about as we're adults and we probably haven't had for a decade or two or maybe three or even more. And we create this like nostalgia around it that it's like, oh, no, this was the best thing we ever had. And then we go back to it as adults after having experienced the world and tasted different foods and, you know, refined our palates a little bit more. And we go back and it's this huge disappointment. It's not the pizza that has changed. What has changed is you. Mostly because nostalgia plays a big part in what we think of as, you know, the best pizza back home or when we were growing up and so forth. So it's a very interesting phenomenon. I think the most important thing, the biggest takeaway is that if it was something that you're nostalgic about, just don't have it again. Just keep it as a memory because you might be disappointed.
I love it. We're talking to Modernist Cuisine head chef Francisco Magoya about his new project, a massive 4-book series out this month called Modernist Pizza. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you need some home pizza making advice or just want to share a favorite? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Find some recipes for some Detroit style pizza that Francisco shared with us over on the at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with Francisco Magoya, head chef at Modernist Cuisine and co-author of the new multi-volume book set, Modernist Pizza. You can join in with your pizza questions at 800-642-1234. Francisco, before we go back to our callers, you shared some recipes for making Detroit-style pizza, crust, sauce, and toppings. We've got them online at WPR.org/Food Friday. I grew up in southeastern Michigan. It turned out I grew up eating Detroit-style pizza. I didn't know to call it that. What do we mean when we say Detroit-style?
So the most, I guess, the most important characteristic, well, there's a couple, actually, of this pizza style. But the first is that it's baked in these rectangular pans that were... They're actually made of black steel. They were used in the automotive industry. They were used as oil pans. And I'm not exactly sure who had the brilliant idea of actually using that to bake pizza, but it is a brilliant idea mostly because the material that they're made of is very good at keeping its shape. So if you put it in a really hot oven, it's not going to warp or bend or twist. And because it's black steel, it gets your dough hot very quickly. And so it gives you like a nice crispy base on your pizza. But the other important characteristic of Detroit style pizza is the cheese that goes on top of it, which is Wisconsin brick cheese. And so Wisconsin brick cheese is its process for making this cheese is very similar to cheddar. It's cultured with a very similar culture, but it's actually at a higher temperature. So it produces like a tangier cheese. It's a higher fat content. The structure itself is, the protein structure is a little bit different. But it has a butteriness and a richness that other cheeses don't really have. And so when you bake it, you know, for those who are not familiar, this cheese is basically spread on the entire surface of the dough, and it comes in contact with the pan. So when it bakes, it has this like golden crispy crust around the border of the pizza, which is absolutely delicious. And this cheese has also like a, I would say like a buttery taste to it, a richness that is, it has a similar, to me, it reminds me of butter. So it's like crispy butter, cheesy goodness around the crust. So if you don't have, the only problem with this cheese is that it's hard to get if you're not, I guess, in Wisconsin. So yes, you guys have an edge over everybody. But if you don't have that cheese, cheddar is the next best choice to utilize for this particular style of pizza.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Paul on the line in Eau Claire. Paul, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell
us
about?
Love your show, Rob.
Thanks.
I just wanted to pass along that being from Chicago, everyone assumes that our favorite pizza is a deep dish, but the vast majority of Chicagoans really prefer a thin crust with excellent ingredients, you know,
right,
from the dough, the sauce, right, the cheese. And it's interesting that everybody says, oh, you must love the deep dish, but right, I think it's quite different. That's
yeah,
all I ask.
No, and he makes a really good point. That is something that we did learn early on, that if you ask somebody for Chicago, or if somebody from Chicago says, let's go and get pizza, they're not referring to necessarily deep dish. For the most part, they're talking about a thin crust, which is one of my favorite pizzas. It is one of my preferred textures, and you know, the toppings that go on top of it, etc. And it is true, but people, when they think about or speak about Chicago pizza, they usually go directly to deep dish, and there's heated debates typically when it comes to whether it's pizza or not. But
thanks a lot for sharing that, Paul. We'll go next to Beth with us in Milton. Beth, hi.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. And your guest just mentioned, you know, the brick cheese making the crust and everything tastes buttery. But there was a fantastic restaurant in Milton where I live called Giorgio's. They're no longer there, but I always thought they had the best pizza. And my husband always said they were overrated, but their crust was buttery, whole milk cheese, everything was just perfect. And then after all of our arguments, the USA Today named it the best pizza restaurant in Wisconsin. So I won that argument.
You win, Beth. That is awesome.
Good for you.
Thanks for that. That said, Francisco, I guess, you know, it can be subjective, right?
Sure. I mean, I think that there's, I love a Detroit style pizza, and I will also enjoy a Neapolitan style. And, you know, they're so different. It's like, would you prefer an apple or an orange? And I think that sometimes you prefer an apple and sometimes you prefer an orange. And it's not a cop out. I think it's more that there's such a breadth of variety and styles that it's very hard to say, you know, one is better than the other, or that, you know, one you like and one you don't like, at least for me personally.
Thanks for sharing that, Beth. We'll go next to Joe in Eagle River. Joe, hello.
Hi there. I had a question. I've been making pizza for years at home with the dough, and I saw something on the internet from an Italian guy, and he suggested adding a quarter of a cup of dry white wine to the we use scalded milk that's been cooled with the yeast before we grow it, you know. But it does really seem to change the texture of the dough. I can't remember the explanation for it, but have you ever heard of doing that?
No, I think that the best thing you can do with that white wine is drink it instead of putting in your dough, mostly because I think from what I hear, you're using active yeast, active dry yeast to get the yeast going, because it typically requires a hotter liquid to, I guess, start the fermentation process. But if I could recommend, you know, typically when you use milk in a dough, it makes for a softer dough because of the lactose in the milk. So my suggestion is just use instant yeast instead of active yeast, and then you can just room temperature water. It'll bloom the yeast without any problems. And I think that would make a much better dough. I think the wine and the dough is just, it's, I'm not sure who the chef is, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Joe, thanks for that call. I got to ask you, Francisco, I feel like if I'd eaten as much pizza as you did all over the world, you know, at restaurants, stuff you made yourself, I feel like I'd be done with pizza for a while. Did you hit a stage like that?
Yes, there is such a thing as too much pizza. As we were wrapping up the project, I was like, I don't want to see another pizza for a few months because it does get to that point. But I think I'm at the point now where I love it again. It's something that I know that I don't have to be analytical about it all the time, and I can just enjoy it.
So if I said, Francisco, you got to eat a pizza this weekend, you know, it doesn't have to be your all-time favorite, what pizza would you go for?
You know, I think if for an experience, I would definitely recommend Neapolitan style. It's so different from what we get in the United States, unless it's a Neapolitan style pizzeria. But it's very different. It's, you know, cooked very quickly, 60 to 75 seconds. It's a really good experience, and that's what I would recommend.
Francisco, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing all this pizza with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
That's Francisco Magoya, head chef at Modernist Cuisine, co-author of the book Modernist Bread, and co-author of the new book Set we've been talking about. It's available this month. It's called Modernist Pizza. 4 books with the history and science and techniques, and yes, lots and lots of recipes. Join us for Food Friday to share some of that extensive advice. And you can get recipes to make pizza yourself over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Detroit style red top pizza. Find the recipe for the dough, the sauce, and of course the critical Wisconsin brick cheese that goes with it, all at WPR.org/Food Friday. Make some. Let me know how it turns out.